Chai FM, Eye on Terrorism, exclusively on Chai FM.
David Harris, a very, very good morning from the Clarion. David Harris from the Clarion Project. The new Iron Curtain is the Middle East. That's intriguing.
My colleague, National Intelligence Analyst and Shulman Fellow Ryan Morrow, who follow this area are very familiar with, has just come out with a video that makes the point, and he does it graphically through maps, that there is now a new Iron Curtain. I've been calling it the Cold War for some time, but if you look at the Middle East, at the support for the Americans, and then, if you will, the axis of countries that are funding terror, that are supporting regimes that are at least supportive of terror, if not terror regimes themselves, that there is a clear divide. I can list the countries, but I imagine to most people listening to this, it's fairly obvious that you've got Qatar, Iran, Turkey, Syria, and Russia, because Russia is heavily involved in the Middle East on the one side, and then you've got the rest of the Gulf countries pretty much, and Egypt and Israel, and the good half of Lebanon, very much, you know, being pro-Western, Jordan as well. Absolutely the case. The Russians and the Americans are taking sides. You know, I like to think that the Americans are backing the good guys, I guess. And clearly the Middle Eastern countries are milking this. You look at a place like Iran and Syria, Turkey, they are very much in bed with the Russians. And as we know, traditionally countries like, Saudi Arabia have incredibly strong ties with the United States, with arms deals. We've got lots of American military bases across the region. And that divide is becoming, ever increasingly obvious. You've also got to factor in organizations like Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Hezbollah, who are also, who are all, of course, designated, you know, terrorist organizations in various places in the world. And they are also on the other side of the curtain, as it were. So, you know, the cards are stacking up on both sides. And there are a lot of people out there who do think that if there is going to be a third world war, that this is going to be the fault line across which it's going to be fought.
Well, it certainly does seem to be that way. You know, if we just even take it one country at a time, and you look at what's gone on in Syria, where Russia is supporting the regime. You've got Iran there. You've got everybody is there. The Americans are there. Israel has to protect its area. So you are seeing this play out almost as you did a Vietnam situation.
Absolutely. And if you're going to mention Vietnam, there is another problem, which is, of course, the Americans being dragged into intractable wars, which creates a lot of debate within the American public for those who are old enough to remember Vietnam. And if you look at Afghanistan, where there are thousands of American soldiers, it is now a longer war than Afghanistan. It's the longest time that American soldiers have been fighting on foreign turf in the country's history. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of those Vietnam references being played out, and as we've seen in a place like Iraq, which of course is still mired in violence, and there is still an American presence there. You're seeing killing fields in the Middle East. You're seeing, you know, some civilians being bulldozed, being buried in mass graves. A lot of things are repeating themselves, and you would like to think that we, as humanity, forgive the naivety, would have learned something from our past, but we make the same mistakes.
Well, we do, don't we? Because it's very, very rarely that successful when these things happen. You know, we've certainly seen U.S. presence in parts of North Africa. Rather, what it did was create these vacuums that allowed the wrong people and the extremists to come in there. So it becomes a very, very difficult situation, because you do have a creation of a natural breeding ground for extremism, surely.
Absolutely. Look, we can, and a lot of people in the Arab world do this, than in Africa, we can blame the colonialists for all of this. If you want to go back 100, 150, 200 years, when, you know, Belgium and Portugal and my own England and all these other countries from Europe came into Africa, came into the Middle East and started dividing up land amongst them, you know, for making people, a slave for them, it ferments anger and resent, and we, you know, 100 years later are still seeing that. And if we want to put it into a much smaller, shorter time scale, look at what happened with the Arab Spring. There were a lot of people who held out hopes, you know, when one guy in North Africa sets himself on fire and you get this spread of protests from 2011 onwards across the region, there was a lot of hope. But look at a place like, take for example, Syria, you know, in many ways, there are people out there now who think better the devil you know in Bashar Assad than the devil you don't know, which is ISIS and all these other splinter terrorist organizations, Al-Qaeda and so on and so forth, that are operating there.
Yeah. So what happens, you know, or let me put it differently, is why haven't we learnt anything? You know, because we actually do know how these things generally play out. But is there an alternative way to perhaps succeed in achieving a different result?
Well, here's one that's controversial and may sound, you know, just pie in the sky. And I guess really it is. But I always wonder if we men handed over the keys of power to women, have women defense ministers and women prime ministers, if there would actually be different results. Again, that might sound
what my 14-year-old daughter said to me the other day was, if that were the case, because we did have this discussion, she said to me there'd be no more war, but there'd be a lot of angry countries not talking to each other.
I'd rather have it that way than the other way. You know, in Israel, which clearly, thankfully, it is above this sort of mire that we're talking about, you've got now a case where there are going to be in the next parliament, in the next Knesset, 3, 4, 5 former heads of the army, plus senior generals, as well. And, you know, the question comes, if you are going to, lord your military, and of course Israel is not a military junta, but, a democracy, but if you are going to place military figures above all else, you are likely to end up with a military mindset. And I think it behooves all of us to move away from that paradigm right now. We need to look to, artists and scientists and others, and say, maybe it's you folks who need to take over the reins of power. It's your soccer mums, as they say in America, maybe, who should be given a little bit more control. Because those people who have been given control over countries throughout history, in most cases, have made a bally mess of the whole thing.
Right. There is this concept that military leaders or people, military generals, don't make successful politicians or leaders of a country, because it's a very, very different style and a different emphasis completely.
100%. Look at Saddam Hussein. If we're taking, for those who are going to complain and say, why is he talking about Israel in this way? Look at Saddam Hussein. That's the ultimate argument against having a military figure at the head of a country. Or you look at somebody like Muammar Gaddafi, who calls himself a colonel, but he surrounded himself with generals. You know, all of the people who were in key positions were from the military, and that is a recipe for disaster. You know, I'm not saying necessarily you need a doctor to run the health ministry, but you need at least somebody who is sympathetic to the issue of health to be running that part of the country's budget.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And where can we see this video? Where can we see this link?
That's going to take you to a different place these days. Go to YouTube and look up the Clarion Project page. There are dozens, hundreds of videos there worth looking at. This is Ryan Morrow talking about the Iron Curtain on Clarion Project's YouTube page.
All right. Absolutely fascinating, David Harris from the Clarion Project. Thank you, as always.